Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's Reality TV Wrap-Ups. And my name is Jessica Leese, and we have a very, very special edition of Amazing Race Canada podcasting for you today. We're very excited to welcome to the program. Well, first of all, Dan Heaton is here with me as always.
Hello, I'm here.
We're here, but more to the point, we have the winners of season 8 of Amazing Race Canada, Catherine and Craig.
Woohoo!
Oh, we're so happy that you could join us. I have so many questions, and probably like half of it you're just going to say, oh, we're not allowed to talk about that. But
well, you never know.
I have tea to spill the tea.
Oh, boy. That's what we're hoping for.
Right.
So first of all, it's been 2 weeks since the airing. And does it feel good to have the secret out?
Feels extremely good. It was really hard to keep it quiet, especially with my two kids and, you know, everybody asking me. Winnipeg's not a huge town, so everybody asking me all the time, how'd you do?
No. Yeah, it's like a big fart that needs to come out, and we've been holding it for months, and I just let that rip as soon as that finale finished. I was like, let's go, let's do it, release.
Yeah, and you trusted it. Clearly.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, it was brewing
in there.
Yep. All right. But I wanted to, I guess, to get up to the very top of things. I know that Canada is much bigger on Amazing Race than we are here down in the US for some reason. But I want to hear about your history with the show prior to getting cast. Like, was it something that you were big fans of, or how did it get onto your radar?
Craig, you want to?
Well, For me, I applied for season 1 of the Canadian Amazing Race. I didn't hear a thing. It was with my friend Crystal, and maybe
it wasn't with me,
right? Of course. Yes, I was really excited for it to be in Canada, the franchise. But you know, Catherine and I are duo citizens, and we had been asked, not officially, but we had been approached to see if we were by chance interested in the American one. And because Catherine is in Winnipeg, and we'll get to that and why, it just made sense definitely for us on numerous reasons to do the Canadian one.
Okay.
So we went into the cast in 2019. So we're supposed to be in the cast in 2020. And it got delayed and then delayed and delayed and delayed. So that was rough for the two of us because we didn't know if I'd still be around when it came time to compete in the race.
Yeah. What was that like where, I mean, you, like, how much did you know in advance before you actually shot where you knew, okay, it's actually happening this time, we're going to do it? Or was it really just pretty quick?
I actually don't remember, Craig.
Well, it was delayed a couple of times. Yeah. And so we kind of had to detach ourselves from the expectations of having it. And then when we got the call, I think it was in the new year of 2022. And then they're like, no, it's a go. So we had a good 3 months to pull it together, to properly train, which we should have been doing through the whole pandemic if we were truly smart.
We trained in other things. I learned how to, not that French really helped me, but I learned how to speak a little bit of French and some other stuff too. So, and a lot of puzzles.
A lot of puzzles, right? That would be the next question then. Like, what do you actually do to prepare? Like, how did you fill those 3 months? What were your priorities in terms of getting ready?
Two and a half years to fill, but we were trying not to focus too much on being on the race. So we were able to watch every season, like the American and the Canadian, and then say like, okay, well, you know, what worked in this time? What worked this time? What worked this time? So we picked and choose what we thought would work for us in this Canadian season.
Oh yeah. I binge watched all races franchise. And I was like, okay, world map. I got out the world map and educated myself on so many things I thought would be deficits going into it. And then of course, day one, they said, oh, we're going to be in Canada only. And I was like, oh,
no,
what a waste.
Yeah. You memorize all the provinces and territories flags, and you memorize the flowers. You memorize like all these things that have to do with each province, and which didn't really help.
Canadians should know that. All Canadians.
And I should know what states are where, but I have no clue. So I just know where I lived.
It's like that cartoon of the New Yorker's view of the world.
Yeah. Huge New York and yeah,
tiny everything else.
So you get to the starting line. I mean, you mentioned they said it was just in Canada. I mean, what's that like when you've been waiting for like 2.5 years and then you get there and John's there and you're in, you know, Mont Tremblant, the whole thing. I mean, what's your experience like going in that? I mean, how do you even stay under control and not just kind of, I mean, you were very energetic, but not go overboard there.
Well, we went into the deepest lunge ever seen on any start of any race. And it was so funny because one of the producers said to us at that moment, said, not so wise. You could be in that position for 6 hours. Are you sure you want to do that? And we said, yeah, we are. We're good. You don't know us
yet. You don't know us yet. Yeah. So
at the end of that, right before we did the actual, okay, go, the guy comes by and says, I like you guys very much. Yeah. Yeah, Mont Tremblant was beautiful. We were thrilled to be there, but we were also terrified that it started in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And the way Catherine and I approached this race from seeing everyone in that line, because it is an all-star season without them maybe deliberately, you know, casting one. We knew they were strong and athletic and smart. And I mean, you could just tell even with the questions that you overhear them asking. So we moved from putting the pressure on the win for us and to more of the longevity. And really, Catherine and I's intent with Catherine's specific situation is to enjoy Canada, is to last as long as we can. And that, I think, ended up really helping us get to the finale and then ultimately the win.
Well, we took each leg as it was like the finale. So like each leg, we were in the finale. So it was like just having fun and trying to get to the end of that. And when we made it past that, we're like, oh, now we're on to the next one. So it was a really great plan that we had that I didn't really know was a plan, but that's how it ended up being.
But it did sort of strike me that whenever you were deciding who was going to do a roadblock, if it looked like one of those like super awesome, thrilling roadblocks, you were almost always giving it to Catherine, because it really felt like we're just gonna throw the whole bucket list experience at her.
Well, right. I wish I had done the first one. We thought it was an eating challenge. So it says who feels well rounded, and I really like Craig and I both thought, oh, it's gonna be an eating challenge, even though like we'd passed the Ferris wheel on the way in and I hadn't really even thought about it. Like, oh, there's a big Ferris wheel, and then we got this who feels well rounded. But you know, we should have known what it was, but Craig didn't. He did it for me, and that's why I picked the best partner.
And Craig, that was maybe the first instance. Like there's always somebody on Amazing Race who gets the thing that they're the most afraid of. And then you get it right out of the gate.
With such strong teams, like I kept watching every single person in front of me and behind me so excited to do this. And I'm literally crying. And I'm by far 205 pounds, the biggest person on there. And yeah, I was just like, okay, hold it together. And I'm like, I can't. But you know, as Catherine said, you have to do it. I mean, the stakes are so high and there's no room for error in this season at all, especially with six teams. I would say it was always a foot race. I mean, you don't unlock your car quick enough, and that could be a factor in not placing appropriately.
Yeah. The teams were just, everybody was really good at everything, and it was really annoying.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the legs was within a few minutes where everybody was just checking in. Like you saw those where like five of you or teams would come in and John's like, just keep coming in. But I mean, so you, both of you, you know, have a background as performers, which I think I was thinking when we started, I picked you to win. I'll just say up front, knowing anything. And I'm usually very bad at picking, but my thought was, your performers, Amazing Race Canada, they love to have you dance and sing, and they did do that. So how much do you think it helped you to have that background, given that, you know, you're doing the Katie and dance, you're doing motion capture, you know, Craig, you're doing the fitness from the 80s. I mean, so much. Like, how did that, you think that really helped you to win ultimately?
Well, listen, I don't think they had as many dance and singing challenges they've had in the past. So we were just like, we need more, we need more. But like they did have enough. And I felt like it did help us. But there were other things that we took advantage of, like with memorization, which I didn't really know that I could do. And, you know, climbing the Ferris wheel, which Craig didn't think he could do. Things like that that are take mental ability. As well.
An expert fail. That's where I think people seem on social media to be really pinpointing, oh, Catherine and Craig, this is in their wheelhouse. But mm-hmm. they don't typically do that in past seasons because there is that expert fail. Mm-hmm. And we luckily didn't have that. So it looks like we had the leg up. And if we didn't, if we did fail, then I think it would have been more forgiving.
It's true. You can't really point to a time where we saw you like heavily on the struggle bus. Like, I know that everybody was having a rough time with everything, but I can't think of a specific instance where I remember thinking, oh, they've screwed it up. They're done. Yeah. they gave you a good edit on the goats.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I still have goat crap in my shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you were never. Go ahead.
We just washed his shoes and they still have goat crap in them.
I would say you were never that. It didn't look like you were that close to being last. I think you were seventh and one. I mean, I'm sure it was super stressful. Were there points when you were like, we're just done? We're out of it? Besides maybe just the goats.
Oh,
the goats were the very first thing of the day. So we were able to catch up. But.
The riddle challenge, we got there. I think the pressure finally got to me, at least, because I was like, oh, wow, we're here with, at that point, just Team Fernella, and we could win this. And I just crumbled. I literally said out loud, and I'm glad it didn't make it through the edits. I'm like, Catherine, you have brain cancer. I have ADD. This is sabotage. We need to take a penalty.
And then I said, listen, Craig, I'm going to tell you exactly what you told me. You can do this. You're strong. Take a breath. And he's like, okay. And then we did it. And we won.
It's funny. The last two full seasons of Amazing Race I've watched, ADD has been a big factor in the winning team. I think the strengths that come with it are not advertised enough.
No.
Yeah, the ultra focus, mm-hmm. I think, and that's something that I think a lot of performers have ADD, and it makes them strong on stage because we can surrender to what's in front of us. Mm-hmm. So all of the fine details, if you look at what we did with the finale, I think is a good example. Where we had a method, like anything didn't feel right, a riddle we weren't sure of, it was on an angle. As soon as we had them aligned and we overlapped the city slightly over the top, the first one, that was done. And we were confident with it. So then we were able to pinpoint down to, we didn't know it was one riddle, but we certainly had only a couple of legs cities that we were unsure of at that point before the stance snapped for us.
And also too, like, there was usually something from each part of the day, and this was just in the later part of the day. And I was like, something's wrong here. This is not, there has to be something from the beginning of the day. And it was the stamps.
Yeah, it seems like everybody got stuck on the exact same one too. So I think they knew it was going to be that one.
Mm-hmm. I think, oh, I'm sure they did. And they tricked it and they were made it tricky on purpose, I think. I mean, that's just my guess.
But I'm 45. We're the middle-aged team here. And I remember licking stamps. And I think some of those children on the race with us have no idea what that was like.
I don't even think they knew that you could lick stamps.
Well, we're all in a similar boat age-wise. So I think we all would have done well on that then and remembered it. But how close did it end up being? I mean, the show... It seemed like it was, you know, seconds, but I'm just curious, you know, how close you were to the teams were behind you.
Well, I mean, Jesse and Marika came, we had long enough to talk to John. We had long enough to answer some questions and then they came in. It was kind of a blur, so I couldn't really guess a time, but we had long enough time to have a conversation with him and enjoy our win a little bit.
We ran to the pit stop for the finale as if they were right on our heels, because for the most part of this show, they were. Jesse and Marika are good at everything. Fernella is so smart that we couldn't trust anything, especially directions from A to B, which Catherine and I, by the way, are horrible at, and it's self-drive season. Like you've heard it before, self-drive is the absolute most difficult part of the race. And for everything except that finale episode being that, torturous, absolutely torturous. But let me tell you, I don't think the other teams necessarily, it took them, you know, 20 or whatever minutes to figure out the stamps. I think that when we left, we were trying to be discreet about it and not vocalize too much, but they heard us leave. And I think because it was so close, this finale, at least two of those teams crumbled. And it took them a good, as far as we're aware, and they told us afterwards, 10 to 15 minutes just to put themselves together to be able to focus on the stamps and then eventually get to the mat.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting. I didn't think about that in terms of finales, because you don't see teams on top of each other, that a lot of times teams might. Yeah, it's just like, especially because the shows like to do these memory tests right before the end. But that's cool. I know we've jumped to the end, but I wanted to move back. Talk a little bit about, before we get into kind of the big topic, you set up an alliance really early on, like you mentioned Fernella and Court and Allie. Like, was that something you wanted to do? I mean, you'd watch so many shows, especially Craig. Were you wanting to do that, or did it just kind of happen?
We did want to because, and this is a good point, Team Broadway, having done so many Broadway shows, we've never had our own one person show. It's an ensemble, and we work well with others. And we looked at this the same way. And the teams that we were attracted to form an OG alliance right at the very first challenge, which was Crack the Code, is because of all the teams, you could tell how they were preparing for that start. And a lot of them were talking to each other. You could tell they were nervous, all of that, or distracted with the cameras. Like Dan, you said, with us having reality show experience and being in front of the camera, we were relaxed. But Team Fernella was staring at a map. They had these big glasses, and I could see them like this, looking at a Mont-Tremblant mat and a map. And I'm like, they're smart. And then Court, and Allie, Court gave a beautiful speech about the indigenous history of the land that we were on. That didn't make it through the cuts, but that really inspired Kath and I to connect more with him, because one of our big intents to doing this show, with all that has been now revealed in Canada, is to connect with indigenous history, culture, people, land, etc. So yeah, we did do that, and it challenged Canadians. I don't think it challenged you two as much, hearing your recaps, but across the boards, Canadians looked at it as cheating.
And how dare they get help from those other teams? I was like, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? I mean, I'm a little confused.
I mean, that's Americans watching the first season of Survivor 22 years ago. Yeah. They're like, how dare they all decide to vote together? And yeah, you know, it's part of the game. It's evolution. So it is surprising that they got 8 seasons without that being a major factor.
Yeah
it is.
Yeah, I know, it kind of surprised me, because I didn't really think that it was something that we didn't do, and then Craig sort of pointed it out to me. I was like, oh yeah, I guess not.
And you don't see a lot of it. Again, I would never want to be an editor on this show. So mm-hmm. difficult. So by no means is it a judgment, but you don't see our self-driving season. And I think, Dan, you pointed it out at one point. You're like, what happened to Craig and Catherine? They've left third and now they're fifth, and it just doesn't make any sense. And that was right at the beginning. And it's because if we could get lost, we got lost, and like far worse than Julie and Kathy ever did. But they don't show any of that. And our OG alliance, if anything, I will say that should have annoyed Fernella, is we followed them every chance we got. Maps were, strategically passed to each other.
Also, if you could just picture Craig in the front seat, big guy, me in the back seat, reading a map, not being able to see over Craig's shoulders, trying to see where we're going, trying to find on the map where we're going. I'm like, it was a disaster.
And Catherine has no short-term memory. I mean, there's a lot of things that are compromised with sweet, amazing, resilient Catherine I'm glad they didn't show, because that's not storyline. Like, her overcoming all of that is, and she's such a warrior, but map reading is not something that you want to give someone that has had a grapefruit-sized tumor removed from their brain.
Yeah.
It can be a challenge. And also the way they make you sit. When you're self-driving, you have to have the camera guy in the front and the sound guy in the back, and then you have to sit right behind him. I can imagine that is its own challenge.
And if I had garlic, which I did many times, I mean, that car was just, it was, that was distracting in itself.
You like locked the windows from coming down. So to like,
I'm sure the rotating crew was always like, oh God, are we going to be in the fart mobile? Horrible.
Oh man. I don't even know where to go from there. I could just ask about the garlic and everything, but yeah, so I think you got the winner's edit, though. That's the thing. Like, you know, you talked about these challenges. If they showed you constantly having challenges, Justin, I would be like, oh, they're in trouble. They're not going to make it. But, you know, you were shown very well. I mean, partially because you did well. It's not because of that. But, yeah, I guess they wanted to tell the story, and we grabbed onto it because it seemed like you guys were doing well the whole time, mostly.
Well, we worked hard. I mean, it was a hard work. And, It was a matter of us also doing well and them showing us that we did well. I mean, there were parts that we'd be like, oh, I wish that had stayed in. Oh, I wish that had stayed in. But it didn't. And that's OK, because we did get a good edit. And there were a lot of people that didn't get as good of an edit.
Jess, I have to ask, because we saw your adorable child there.
I got distracted.
Sorry.
Who's he rooting for from the beginning again?
He chose Brendan and Connor from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty cool dudes.
Yeah, they're cool dudes. Like, the second he saw him, he's like, they're really funny. I want them to win. And he's usually very on top of it. I mean, they did make the finals, so there's that.
Was he terribly disappointed, like bone-crushing disappointment for Kath and I or winning? Or
no, not at all.
No, okay.
He's pretty easygoing about it.
Okay. Well, that's okay then.
He's moved on.
He's moved on, yeah. He doesn't watch it religiously. If he knows I'm going to watch it, he'll sit with me and watch it. But yeah, he's not as invested.
Yeah.
Dan watches it with his kids, but they're older.
Yeah, and they were excited about you winning. I think we did a little draft with my daughters, and I did pick you first, and because, you know, I believed in it, and I was sticking with the podcast. But
Dan.
Yeah.
But what about when we got COVID, Dan? What happened? Who did you switch to? Who was your next favorite?
Then? Oh, I didn't. You know, I mean, podcast history. I've often lost all the teams I've drafted by like six. So this is normal. But I was down because, you know, when we can ask about that now too, because it's like, you know, we come out of, you have that leg where you win the leg and we are raving. Cause you know, Craig, you're basically leading the workout. And, you know, that was a shining moment. I don't even know what to ask. How do you go when you go from that? I mean, what is that like? I mean, what was that process like where essentially you finished the leg and then everything changed?
I was devastated. I'll just tell you that. And then Craig can tell you his portion.
We were so excited for numerous reasons. I mean, of course, the Marshalls gift cards, which we all love Marshalls, Jess, you know, yes, Canadians especially. But we also were like, great, we get to be first out to get maps. And that was really key that, I think the editing didn't have the ability to showcase is if we got our maps, then we would have been set and we weren't. So we were then off with COVID, of course. We didn't know if we were going to have a future with it. It's not like they sent us back home or whatnot. We had to be safely quarantined and recover. And thankfully, all three teams did. We're very responsible with our boosters and such. And then they carved out an opportunity for us to get back on, but and which we're very grateful for. But we also had to crawl our way back up from the bottom. And, you know, there was a lot of things and obstacles that weren't even seen that the COVID teams had to try and overcome. And at leg 4 and 5, I would have much rather, both Kath and I would have much rather have done that and participated in that than have the Amazing Race Canada COVID challenge, which I don't want anyone to ever have to go through.
I would much rather have gone paragliding.
Yes.
Yes. So how long were you out?
Yeah, we were out long enough to both be the negative, all of us negative, for a couple of days. So we're looking at just above a week where
you recovered.
We don't know. Yeah, we recovered. We don't know if they slowed down production or did anything, all we knew that we could see teams coming in and out, you know, of the sequestered hotel after what we would assume are episodes that were missing, which was devastating.
So they must have quarantined everybody for a couple of days.
I think so. We don't know. We just know that we weren't even in a room together. I could hear Catherine pacing back and forth in her room and doing handstands with her feet hitting my shared wall all the time. So, it was difficult. Company.
You weren't allowed to talk to each other?
No.
I mean, we eventually were able to get back together and we had a few days of being in the same room again, which was comforting. I think more so for Catherine, she was going stir crazy.
Oh god!
But we're thankfully they found a way back on, which again is controversial. I think this whole season really challenged Canadians on both sides of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's gonna. I think they need to have that blueprint there. Like, I think every Amazing Race franchise was watching what happens when this happens, and how do you figure out how to keep the race going,
right,
in the face of that?
On ramp. But I think like it was kind of three teams at once is a lot, and I don't think they ever imagined that there would be three teams. So they sort of had to get really creative.
When you, I mean, I don't know how much you can say, but when you had to get quarantined, did you know that they were hoping to have you come back on, or did you have any info? Or, I mean, I guess you knew that you weren't done probably, but you didn't have any background.
We had no idea that we weren't done. We thought we were. No. But the fact that they wouldn't like let us have phones or let us, you know, we sort of were like, well, maybe they're trying, maybe they're not. But we didn't know anything until we ran down and John said, you know,
they took good care of us. They really did take
extremely good care of us.
Yeah. Like we had anything we needed, of course, and we were under medical care. But other than that, we had no idea. And I'm sure that there was just so much groundwork that they had to do that they certainly didn't need our two cents. Right.
Well, I think everybody was a little bit sadder without you on the race.
Well, a lot of people, thank you, I appreciate that. But a lot of people didn't even know, because the way that it was presented in leg four was the first 20 seconds of that episode. And unless your DVR, if your DVR didn't match and pick that up, and then no one knew. They just were like, where are these missing teams?
Yeah.
And it was unfortunately up to Catherine and I, with obviously the restrictions with our NDA, to have to like to try and answer, where are you? Is, you know, Catherine okay? And none of that. So we just went missing. Yeah. And we couldn't say we're going to be back.
All my friends. And also it was like a 3-week one, because they didn't have a show 1 week. So there was 3 weeks when we weren't in it. And so a lot of my people that I know stopped watching it. Like, I had somebody ask me the other day, like, oh, are you going to try it again? I'm like, well, we got back in and we won. I'm like, oh my gosh, you did. So it's like those, they don't know. And also too, like, you know, we had to say, like, just because you don't see us racing does not mean we are eliminated. So that was like all we could sort of say to everybody. So that was sort of, I got tired. I just like copied and pasted it into all my things.
Yeah, and people were so PO'd about how the on-ramp happened, and one team, you know, had an unfair advantage, and then they blamed the alliance, and like it's also, and I'm sure other racers in past seasons can say this, like it is there's a lot of gray. It is not as black and white as what it appears, and so many things happen that obviously don't make it to the edits, but yeah, we had to navigate that. And it certainly challenged Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. How was the reception in real time? Things like that. Like, when you did something that felt morally gray, I'm sure you heard about it on social media immediately.
We did. Other teams too. I mean, mostly it was the other teams having to watch an OG alliance, if you will, even though they know that there was not a lot of helping back and forth, except for when we had the double elimination and the three alliance teams somehow thankfully, the universe aligned this for us to be on the same train heading to said destination, where we really were like, it's survival. Like, if there's a U-turn, we're putting this team and this team up there. And we all agreed Beverly and Vanessa should be off.
Veronica.
And at that point, I mean, we've grown to really love them, and we certainly had some good moments with them too, that I wish they had a more balanced edit, but they had a fair edit. Like, we, at that time, I'll be completely honest, we didn't want to see them in another race. It was those six teams that were always with each other the whole time, and we didn't want to be with them.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair when everybody's the main character of their own story, right?
It's a race. Like, yeah. There can only be one team that wins.
Right. But we do. Let me just say, of course, the Canadian in me has to say this. We do love them and adore them. And especially Beverly, we've had some great moments with her. But at that time, we don't know these people that well yet. The viewer knows them better than we do. And we missed leg 4 and 5. So of course I call her Vanessa, because I haven't had the chance to really truly get to know them. Except I apparently love and adore her. And I told her that after not knowing her name. But...
So yeah, I don't remember anybody's names. Remember, that's what you're good at, right, Craig?
Yeah. My special skill, apparently, Catherine says, is remembering names. Not this time.
Yeah, we analyzed their edit so much because we're like, well, they seemed really happy there. And then this happened and this, because again, you're getting such a small snippet of it. But we were very happy to have you back and have everyone back. And I mean, what was that like when you get back and then they tell you, like you said, you didn't know, only two of you are coming back and here's this task you have to do.
It was rough. And we were carrying around our backpacks, running through a golf course and a mini golf course and water slides. And it said, like, look up. And so we were trying to look up something that will bring you luck. And like, we just.
Everything was hard.
And it was frustrating.
Yeah, Catherine fell down one of the hills after I had just said, and I'm always like 20 feet that limit that you're allowed to be, because yeah. I'm a sprinter and she's not. And I'd be like, careful of the hill. And then apparently she rolled down and tumbled, like her legs were like flying. And then I look back and she stands up and I go, Catherine, are you with me or are you not? Come on, let's go. Poor thing. Yeah, it was terribly tough, much tougher than they showed. And what was the toughest thing for me, which wasn't where Catherine witnessed, was the other two teams coming to me and saying, if we have a choice here, we don't know what this is going to look like, but if we have a choice, we would love to forfeit our spots so that Catherine and you can have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that really like got me so emotional at the moment. And I said, let me tell you, Catherine wouldn't want that. I can speak for her. She wants everyone to have a fair race, a fair game. And of course, it led to Court and Allie giving us a hint about what it was, but all we heard was bucket. And let me tell you, again, directions, Catherine and I are not good at. We wasted a good 10 minutes after they even told us at the water park, looking at this big bucket, trying to figure out how we can maneuver it to get it to fall.
I climbed up and like went in it and was looking through the bucket.
Ridiculous. So it wasn't as helpful as what it certainly appeared to be, but it still was. And I don't want to discount what Dennis and Darrell's feelings are. And I am very aware that it doesn't sit well with them to date.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I think the show put you in an impossible place too, because it's like two of you are coming back and one of you is not coming back. I mean, what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah, and we're not producers. I mean, internally, we have to have these difficult conversations where it's like your feelings are justified. We get that. Every single racer has their own traumatic experiences with this race, and they're thrilling ones. But we didn't dictate that. You know, we just ran our own race and we tried to do it as fairly as we possibly could.
But if somebody, you know, gives you a hint, you're not going to be like, oh, we're just going to ignore it.
Yeah, I can't take that hint because that would be a blow board.
It didn't actually really help us all that much.
No, it did. It still did.
I mean, it got you it got you there eventually.
It got us there, and we're very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really amazed at production's ability to think on the fly like that. They couldn't have had that in their back pocket the whole time, assuming people would get COVID and know exactly when they're coming back.
And those were fancy plaques that we found.
No.
Like when I found it, I was like, wow, I want to put this up on my wall. It's beautiful.
You should have stolen it. Can I just get that back?
Yeah, they let you keep that when you've won it. Just like, John, I'm good. Just hang on to it.
They're storing it in case the worst case scenario happens and they have to create another on-ramp in future seasons.
Next season.
Yep, they got a box marked on-ramp supplies.
Oh, no.
Do they let you keep anything?
You kept the socks, right?
I mean, I stole them. I don't know if they... I didn't ask if I
could. I kept the hat from the Montebello mystery case.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, like, klepto stole stuff and put it in our bag. But no, you specifically can't, like, the clues and things. So I don't know. They'll come back and want to solve
clues. They told us we had to give all our clues and we gave all our money and clues back. But I was wearing this hat and I was like, can I keep it? And they were like, yeah. So I'm keeping it.
Yeah, asking is free.
Yeah.
We got to keep our integrity, I think, for this.
That's in the rules. You got to give everything back except for your integrity. Yeah. That's all good. So when you came back, it seemed like you had a little more different approach because, you know, you were probably so relieved. Do you feel like you approached it differently when you were back in it? Not just the on-ramp, like after that?
I think we always were just trying to have fun with it all. You know, and like we came back into that episode, it was like the aviation or anime, and we chose the anime, even though we knew it might be a bit harder, just because I think it would have been more fun. So we were having fun doing like the little ballet jumps and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff.
Dan, I love this question because a lot of the teams didn't know Catherine's medical situation. And when we came back and on that pit stop mat with Cassie and Jameek were there, and I was telling the story about the other two teams, the other two COVID teams wanting to give us this opportunity to continue racing. They were like, why? Like they had no idea. And then as we were running out, I said, Catherine has terminal brain cancer. And I think that shifted the energy of the show because everyone, it gave them a different perspective of and gratitude for the race. Mm-hmm. And we all bonded extremely after that. Mm-hmm. It was really special.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it never came up. Like they usually, it feels like everybody on the race should have known everything the viewers knew at any given time, but I guess that's not the case. Mm-mm. Like, was there anything you learned watching the show back that surprised you?
I'm not apparently gay and married. I mean, my aerobics challenge definitely outed me, but but if for people that are completely oblivious, I really certainly wish, as a proud member of the LGBTQ community, that they would have given word to that. Mm-hmm. And showcased my family and my family dynamics a bit. Mm-hmm. But no, just unbelievable gratitude, really, for them showcasing Catherine's story. It's so inspiring from coast to coast and way beyond what previous Canadian Amazing Race wins are, because we are able to bring this internationally. I mean, the press that we have for Catherine to share her incredible win is great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, if you're scripting it, you couldn't have scripted a better ending.
There you have it. Yeah. But also too, we're both American citizens, so you never know what might happen next.
Oh.
You might try out for another amazing race, Team Broadway, you know?
I mean, I don't think you're disqualified.
It's never happened before. So, you know.
I'd love to see it. Now, Craig, you've watched a fair amount of global amazing races. Yeah. Are there, like, who are some of your favorite teams?
Oh, my. Chippendales, I would say, James up for, you know, many reasons. But a good friend of mine is Vicky Cassiola from Vicky and Nick from season 17 of the Amazing Race America. I love watching them back for their highlighted moments. And as far as the Canadian one, I really love so many of them, but Martina and Phil. Mm-hmm. I think maybe because I could relate to Martina's like hesitation, not just with height, but in general, with some of the challenges. Like I was so fearful of the race car driving. Like you didn't see it, but I was just shaking and like I'm head of neighborhood watch. Like I don't bend the rules, you know what I mean? They're some of my favorites.
Well, my husband is really good friends with Rob and Brennan, who won the very first one. So like they hung out together in LA all the time. So I knew them before I knew that they had won the first Amazing Race.
Who's your all-time favorite Amazing Race Canada team for you both, Jess and Dan?
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna have to be careful with this one.
No.
Are you present company excluded?
Yes, of course.
Yes. In fact, this came up in conversation earlier today when we were doing our recap of Amazing Race US. A kind of under the radar team, I think Brian and Cynthia were one of my favorites because they were just so dry and like everything out of their mouth was funny, like just because of the delivery. I think they're one of my all time favorites for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Cause I would have said Phil and Martina right off the bat, but now I feel like I'm just jumping on what you just said. So now I have to think about it a little more.
Well, Martina just got married and sent us all of a video of her getting married. Yeah, we've been in touch with them.
Oh, that's,
Dan that's, loves Jesse's monotone. I'm so stressed.
I didn't plan on that being like a big ongoing thing, but it was the whole season, and his let's go was like my favorite thing ever because it'd be like, you know, everyone's so big, and then he's just like, let's go. But every time, and it was just like, you know, and granted, he was very excited and they were very good. And I really liked them as a team, but I always find that funny. There was a dad named Joel from season 4 who was the same way. He was just like there'd be something crazy happen. His daughter was like, kind of like Mariko was like, dad, we're going to lose. This is crazy. And Joel was like, yeah, this is going to be really hard. This is going to be bad. So sometimes I get drawn to the dry and the people that just are unflappable. Like no matter what happens, they just do not react. I also enjoy that.
It's also just like they had, we're such a difference between this brother and sister.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, right. Such a crazy difference.
You two made me laugh so much when you're like, if anyone should have a brand ambassadorship with Guru, it's Jesse. Get that guy, Endless Guru, and get him some energy.
Well, calm because he's an Olympian and he needs to stay calm, right?
So are you allowed to tell us if you actually drank the Guru energy or not?
Oh, we did. I actually liked it. Well, I liked two of them way better than the other ones. I liked the tropical one and the yerba mate one.
I would have it only with the long car rides. Like if it was a 2+ hour car ride, I would definitely sip a Guru. But as a fitness expert, like I have a lot of energy, you know, I don't really need it. And I also anticipated like having too much Guru into some of these unknown challenges, like dog training or like meditation, I knew would be really bad. You should have seen some of the other racers with that. Like they're at the dog and they're like, I'm going to train you. We're going to work together here, you know? And the dogs are like, what? This energy is way too high. Or meditation and finding those birds. Like
he got 6, I got 5. I was really happy that I even got 5. So
I got 26. Yeah.
What did I say?
I thought you said 6, but we'd be in the room and you'd literally hear someone say, damn Guru. Because they couldn't find the bird. They couldn't meditate.
They should have made that part of the challenge, to be honest. Like you should have had to chug one before you got in there. Guru
might not be a good ad for Guru if they did that. I don't know. Brendan and Connor seemed like they enjoyed the Guru. That's what I will say.
Oh yeah. That was infused in them. They just always had a Guru in hand. They definitely deserve that sponsorship.
Craig was like, be careful. Don't drink too much.
So was it just readily available to you at every at all points, or did you just have to get it at the sign up boards?
It was sometimes it was in the cars.
It was in the car. No, the guru was always around. Yeah. I mean, we definitely had guru support throughout the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, listen, I'm grateful for it. It is much better and more appealing than what people would think. And especially with you guys talking about it so much, you guys deserve that brand ambassadorship as well at this point.
I tried one.
Which one did you try?
It was just like regular. They only had regular and light at our local.
Try, see if you can find the tropical one or the yerba mate. The yerba mate
is my good one.
Yeah. Not the matcha, the yerba mate.
Yerba mate.
Okay. I have not seen it anywhere in New York.
Well, it's apparently once you know about it, I see it everywhere now.
It's a biohacking phenomenon.
Right.
New Yorkers have enough energy. They're good.
Yeah, we don't need it.
In St. Louis. Well, that was like I had asked my wife, and all of a sudden there was a giant display in the store. So I guess, we just saw it. Well, mm-hmm. I have to ask you too. I mean, how do you feel about getting almost $4,500 in Marshall's gift cards? I mean, what are you going to do with this?
No, the $250,000 did come in Marshall's gift cards. Yes. You guys said it would. Marshall's for lifetimes, like generational. Yeah. Passing on in my will and testament Marshall's gift cards.
No,
I'm excited. I mean, the HomeSense is attached to Marshall's too. So I certainly anticipate visiting all of their chains, Winners.
Well, he has a new home that he built in Essex County. So he needs to fill it with furniture.
Oh, that changes things. I didn't think about the brands and the different brands. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I feel like Brendan and Connor with all their money are just going to be good now.
Yeah, but the Fernella with the footlongs, it's simply footlong per year.
I know.
There's no way around that.
I was really sad that Craig hadn't won that because that's his big deal. Love Subways.
Extra pickles.
Extra pickles, yeah. I need extra olives on mine.
Oh, man.
So I have to ask about that, too. Like, no, I have the question. Like, how did they know what you wanted on your sub? Did you actually have to order one ahead of time?
Oddly, I think in our first like outline in an interview of what your skill sets are and all that kind of stuff, I think that there was a Subway sandwich outline, and I specifically was cold cut trio, like a shake or two of oregano, salt and pepper, oil and vinegar with a splash of mayo, and gave all the veggies. So I was very specific. So that's why mine was like this high. And you see me eat it at the next challenge when she's doing the virtual thing. And in fact, I think she would have had to have done the next challenge regardless of what it was, because I was so hungry and I needed that foot long.
Yeah. I gave him mine too.
Was it confusing when they ask you for all that Subway info? Were you like, is this going to go on the website, or what is this for? I don't understand.
It was fresh ingredients. So we had to go out to these three farms and bring the fresh ingredients back to the Subway store, which probably is not how they do it normally. But that was just for one of the
challenges. How dare you?
How dare you? I mean, how dare I? So it was just a way of showing that they do use fresh vegetables, and they do. Mm-hmm. They could have used those ones.
Was there another challenge that we haven't talked about that was one of your favorites that you really enjoyed doing that maybe we didn't see as much on the race of?
The tap one, like nine. What were you thinking of?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but you certainly, I don't think, saw the extent of how hard the Richmond Night Market was.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah.
That was terrifying.
Horribly, terribly hard for everybody, I think. Us mostly, because we were the ones that got there first. And so usually when you get there first, there's like a lot more rules, and then everything goes a bit crazy, and then you can sort of kind of fake it a little bit. But like, we were waiting in line. You had to find where they were, order, and then leave and come back and remember where they were and remember which ones you found where, and write down on a piece of paper where you found there and how many minutes till this one was ready. And it was very stressful.
Yeah, but more so, it was smart team Fernella. I mean, I really admire them. And mm-hmm. of course, if there's an all-star, they need to be in there. in my opinion, because they not only were able to do their challenge of the Richmond Night Market, but they also were following hot on our trail. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, if you're not back in time to collect your food, another team can take it. So they would watch where we are right down and see where we're going to be at different places because we were ahead of them and tackle what they're doing, see where we are, gauge when one would listen in to hear when we'd have to come back and try and show up and steal our food.
So we'd be like, no, we had 11. We had 11. Oh,
so, I mean, they really were great and we knew that. So it was really stressful. I mean, we had our own tricks up our sleeve too, I think, as smart racers in our own right. But yeah, they were brilliant.
We got
were you there for hours? Sorry.
No, we were there for about an hour and a half, I think. But we got, when we got to the library, we got there at the exact same time as Team Fernella.
And people were asking on social media, what is in that bag that Craig is carrying running to the pit stop finale mat? And it's a combo of Catherine's specific foods that she needs to eat, you know, for her condition. But also, I had such tasty, like, soba noodles and things like that in that from the Merchantman Night Market. I did irresponsibly take some time to order me some food because I knew I'd be really hungry after the finale.
And it worked. He got to eat.
Well, that's because they don't let you eat while you're out running the race. Yeah, it's kind of like down to whatever you can buy, right?
Yeah. We just like brought apples and like, you know, bars with us and stuff.
Yeah, no one's feeding you. No one's caring about that. I mean, I'm sure if we collapsed, you know, someone would shove a carb packet in our mouth. but I would always threaten as the driver, we're lost anyway. I'm like, should we just go through this drive-through?
No, we gotta keep going.
And you can see, you know, crew cannot talk to us in that, but they would just be laughing and like, oh my gosh, like always get in the lost fart smelling car.
Horrible. Yeah.
That's what I think about the most is like stopping for the bathroom, getting food, like all those things, because we never see those on the show. And I'm sure that's like 90% of what you're doing is navigating and trying to deal with garlic smells and everything.
Well, it was mostly navigating, but we did have to like pull over and just like pee on the side of the road.
But also, too, I think that this there is more challenges for women on the race than men. And what's not talked about is their cycle and such, you know, and until I did, when I was asked, you know, about the virtual gaming one, and they were asking me, so what do you think with Catherine doing this challenge? I said, I think she's going to be fine as long as she thinks of it as choreography, but I am concerned because she started her period this morning and it could, you know, really affect her. We talk about this freely, but I guess I shouldn't be talking about you. with her personal lady situations, but yeah, we were just open books and we were willing to talk about it all.
Well, we were like trying to ask directions in a big huge warehouse, and I whispered to our camera, I'm like, I gotta change my tampon. He's like, the bathroom's over there. You gotta wait for me.
It's tough. Yeah
And also, like, even the peeing on the side of the road, I feel like,
I've done that many times. So,
People are on their schedule, right? Like, this is a big thing too, especially middle-aged people like Kath and I, you all can relate to it. Like you have your bathroom breaks when you know that they're going to be necessary. It's regular, your morning coffee, but when your sleep is all messed up and all of that, that was one of my biggest concerns, was like timing things appropriately. But you just, and again, that's smart racing.
So are there any other smart racing tips that you could impart to a future racer that might not be self-evident from watching the show?
Ooh, it's a good question.
Yeah.
Write everything down. Write everything down during the leg. Because at the end of the leg, they take everything away. So everything has to be written down during the leg.
I'm not a fan of people hiding secrets. like, and the hidden talents and stuff. I really think that just being transparent of who you are and what you're bringing to the table, because as you've seen in this season, I think that in post-pandemic, I think all of the race franchise will experience this. People are going to be starved to get to know each other more and want to work with each other and be kind and compassionate. And it reads as it really can alienate you if you do keep things. Yeah, that I would say that, and you really have to think outside the box, and just expedite that time. Like at one point, when we were going to the Montebello pit stop, and we had to find directions, like we knew our backpacks were in the car, so when we ran to the car, and that was the only leg that we were allowed to use the GPS, which was fantastic to promote, you know, Chevrolet cars, I just started the car and plugged it in and looked, and we were able to watch it. So like literally 30 seconds, we know where we're going, and people are stopping and asking people two or three times. So calm down in the moment and just really think, what is going to be my parkour's quickest and efficient way from A to B?
Well, you already mentioned that, you know, Amazing Race, you would love to do again, possibly being dual citizen. If you did it, if you were able to race again, is there anything you would do differently or approach it differently than you did this time? You won, but if you were really trying to be picky?
I don't know. I think just being ourselves. And I think if we did run the American one, it would be a lot less pressure. We would just be there to enjoy ourselves and have fun and travel the world if that's what it was.
Well, yeah, I think read a map. I think really study how to and put yourself in those situations. Like that's for both of us. I'm not coming down on Catherine. I'm saying even me. And read directions. Like we in Canada, I'm used to Waze, and Canadians don't have Waze. Like they do, some of them, but it's a totally different app. So study looking at other people's phones and making sense of that, and write it out as well from what you see. Don't just rely on your memory.
Yeah, my memory's terrible. Like left or right, I'm like, I think left.
Oh man!
So something we touched on very briefly at the beginning of the podcast. You kind of teased this out, Catherine. We were going to talk about Winnipeg and what are you doing in Winnipeg?
Well, I was born here, born and raised. Mm-hmm. When I was 18, I left and did Stratford Festival. Then I did Broadway. This is all with Greg. Broadway. Then we moved to LA. And then I ran a mortgage company, then became a nurse, had two kids, married my husband. And at that point, I was diagnosed with brain cancer. So my husband was still American. So we applied right away for a permanent residency card for us to move back to Winnipeg because my parents are here. My sister's here. Their family's here. So just made way more sense for us to be with my family. My daughter was 5 weeks old. My son was two. So it just made way more sense. And I'm super happy we came back. It's a lot colder here, but we still have bonds to Broadway and to Palm Springs, to LA, to all these different places in New York. I also toured with one of the shows I did, and I performed in every city, made for major city in the US. But you know, and then I decided what makes me happy. What do I want to do with the years I've been given left? And I decided performing. So, you know, nursing went bye-bye, mortgage company went bye-bye. And I just started doing brings me passion, and that's dance. And I hoping to inspire people through this win to do what they want to do what they're passionate about and step up to the plate. And that, you know, just because you have a terminal illness doesn't stop you from doing anything while you can still do it. So, and you also need to ask for a lot of help to do it, which is what Craig helped me with. Just being able to rely on him and trust him helped me as well a lot. That's your story about why I'm in Winnipeg.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, I think it's really inspiring. I think you've inspired so many people.
I mean, so that was kind of the plan with this, was to sort of, you know, show everybody, not everybody, but just show people with these challenges that just because you have a challenge doesn't mean you just have to sit and be depressed and you know, and I mean, that's okay every now and then, but you just have to like pick yourself up and get out there and, you know, tire shoe, go for a walk, you know, just do something that maybe challenges you. Like, I really want to do some pottery. I wanted to, you know, I want to do things that I've never done before. Like, I wanted to jump out of a helicopter, you know, just things like that.
I mean, you can package a whole bunch of them. If you go on the Amazing Race, you can tick a lot of stuff off your list. Well,
exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this. And like, again, if we do it again, that'll be that same reason. Just check, 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 check.
It's always, it's almost always different stuff.
Didn't get to skydive, you know, I'll have to check those off my list.
Yeah, for sure. And they almost always do different stuff across the Amazing Races. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we steal stuff, but you know, for the most part. There's a team on Amazing Race Australia this season that has a very similar story to yours, Catherine, actually.
Okay. I haven't watched that one.
Yeah. It's hard to track down when you're not in Australia.
Well, my dad's Australian, all his family lives there. So we've been having to like try to send them YouTube clips of what we've been doing over here.
You're tied to so many nations.
Well, I know I'm actually an Australian citizen, a U.S. citizen, and a Canadian citizen, so I could do all three of them.
Okay, now I got to see you do the trifecta now.
But Craig's not Australian. Maybe they'd let me bring him anyway.
No.
That show keeps things pretty loose. I think they'd let you do it, Craig, if you wanted to.
Yeah, and Australia is complicated. Like,
there's like 20 teams or something.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Half of them are out with COVID at any given time.
Oh,
yeah. Your tinfoil hat must just be on fire, Jess, with Australia, too.
There's a reason we don't podcast about Amazing Race Australia. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. I have a day job. So.
Well, thank you for taking time to do this.
Oh, well, thank you. You've been so generous with your time. This has been really great to get all of these things that you answered a lot of our burning questions, I think.
Oh, good.
Is there anything else that you wanted to share? Like anything, any fun stories or any other amazing race related errata that you want to get out there before we wrap things up?
I just really encourage people to subscribe. Rob has a podcast and to listen to you guys, because let me tell you, it was so therapeutic for me. And like my husband will tell you, I was like, talking back, like as if we're doing this right now after every single recap. I'm like, exactly. Finally, someone gets it. And then there's other things. I'm like, nope.
They had COVID. They got to come. I'm like, no, we didn't. We were trapped in our hotel room.
And I think that people, if they love the race, the Canadians especially, this has to be on their radar, because it really does help give a lot of clarity, and your guys' expertise makes us feel better, because you do clarify, this might be missing, or this is harder than it looks. Like Chantel, who filled in, Jess, for you at that one time. Mm-hmm. And I got to see her in person in Toronto, and I told her, I said, never do I want to hear the word easy come out of your mouth again. Never. Because everything was, that was easy. And I'm like, no, it wasn't easy. it was terribly tough. But yeah, thank you guys. Thank you both for investing in Amazing Race Canada.
Yeah, and especially you're American, so like it means even more.
I mean, the American version is inferior to the Canadian version. And that's been true from the first season of Canada. And I feel like we're not doing the franchise a service if we're ignoring Amazing Race Canada.
I love your tie into it, too. as sometimes as much of a stretch as it is, it's still all Canadians are like, you know, she's been to Fernie. or she's thought of Fernie. That's so great.
I grew up watching Lethbridge television.
Oh, we love it. Canadians are just, eat it up. Any kind of connection you can have.
Yeah, I mean, I know about the house hippo. I know about the Canadian heritage moments.
And I'm over here I know nothing.
That's okay. We still love you, Dan.
I'm just nervous now that I'm saying things and Craig's like, Dan, no. No, and it's like yelling the screen. I'm like, I'm trying our hardest, you know. But no, I appreciate it really that the two of you talk with us, and also that you enjoyed it, because we do this because we love the show. So it's always
great. You can tell it's really great to listen to. Yeah,
we had confidence in keeping a friendship through this. That's about it. We didn't necessarily have the confidence in the actual win. So Dan, when we listened to the pre-race podcast that you guys did and you chose us, Kath called me immediately and she goes, is he crazy? What? he thinks we're going to win?
I'm always wrong.
So, we knew that we did, but we didn't know at that point. So yeah. We were just relying on you and your confidence for us every single leg.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm like, I thought we're going to win. Dan thought.
And I got to put my foot in my mouth because as soon as Dan picked you, I'm like, oh, I feel sorry that he has retroactively doomed you to go out first.
No.
I've picked winners in 3 seasons. So, but those other seasons, we don't talk about those. We just don't talk about those at all. So this season was good. But now, I don't know. Sometimes it grabs me where I was like, yeah, I can picture them winning. And this time was the case. And thank you for making me feel smarter and legitimizing my decision.
This has been really, really fun. I've really appreciated getting to hear from you finally. And getting the full story on everything. We hope we'll be able to hear from you again in the future. Do you have a favorite in Amazing Race US right now?
I only watched the first one.
The teams right now?
Yeah, the teams right now. Do you have a winner pick?
Now that we are part of the race family, no, I'm not going to get myself in trouble. We're hearing from so many teams across, internationally too. There's no way that I'm going to know.
I like sisters who didn't know about each other.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That's a really interesting story. I'm more interested in their story than I am in what's happening with the race. I don't even know where they placed at all, but I really like that story.
Yeah. I mean, for having such a great story, they're doing very, very well.
Okay, good. Sometimes hopefully win. No, I'm kidding.
Sometimes it's one or the other, but I think the two of you have proven that it can be both.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
I'm gay. I have a husband.
Yeah. I have brain cancer, so.
Well, this has all been really fantastic. Where can people find you out in the world if they want to keep up with what's going on in your world?
Well, Winnipeg. No, I'm kidding. Instagram, I'm Catherine Reford, and with a WREFORD. Same on Facebook, Catherine Reford Ludlow.
Yeah, simple Google search, I think, will pull it all up. But Craig Ramsey Fit, RAMSAY. And we'd love to hear from people. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone that's reaching out, that they feel that we somehow resonated with them. Mm-hmm. We're hearing Catherine's story, of course, but also supporters of people that are trying to be there for someone in Catherine's medical situation. Mm-hmm. Supporters need support. So I'm there for people. And we're 17 years older, our combined ages, than any other winners in the Canadian race.
Yeah.
So, you can do anything at any age. Do it.
I would not have guessed you were that old.
No,
you both look great for
licking stamps.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's licking stamps. All right. So listeners, if you want to get in touch with Catherine and Craig, they'd love to hear from you. And of course, we always love to hear from you as well. And you can find us on the Twitter at the Dan Heaton or at Haymaker Hattie over on the Twitter. And that's me on Instagram as well. I don't know, Dan, we never talk about other social media around here. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to plug. I suppose you want to talk about the Tomorrow Society.
Oh, well, I don't want to slow down, Catherine and Craig. I will just say I'm on Instagram at the Dan Heaton and I do a podcast called Tomorrow Society Podcast. Look for it. It's fun.
Yeah. And of course, subscribe to Reality TV Wrap Ups for all of your reality TV needs. Subscribe to the Amazing Race feed for all your Amazing Race needs. And we are always happy to talk all nationalities of Amazing Race with anybody, with any and all comers. So thanks again, Catherine and Craig. We appreciate you taking your time to come talk with us.
Thanks,
Jeff. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
And thank you to Dan, as always. And thanks to everybody behind the scenes. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll have more coverage in the future in the Canadian realm. But until then, we'll see you next time.